All right, last week an assignment for class today. Who remembers what it was?
I don't mind my copy of Thousand. I'd go home. I'd like to go home and get it.
Nope. I'd have to start all over about Sabbath afternoon on Union College if you did that. All right, who has that? Who remembers?
I have a question for you.
I don't answer questions.
Did Paul do four missionary trips or three?
What do you think?
Everything I found has been three. Now okay. I've got one person saying four.
Okay, that's a good question. All right, who remembers their class assignment? You're supposed to know the cities in order that Paul went on his second missionary journey. That was your assignment, because I'm sure that's the most important thing we can get out of this Sabbath school lesson, is exactly the cities he went to. Today we want to look at several things. First of all, when you think of the early church, right after Pentecost, if you were going to describe the early church, how would you describe it? What do we think of as the early church? In fact, we often pray for it. What's that?
The church was on fire.
Church was on fire, that's right. What else would you say that the church was?
Community.
Unity, that was very important. Full of prayer. Well, today we're going to look at unity. And we're going to start off with our good friend Paul. Now remember last week we discussed how that there was a tremendous problem at the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Jerusalem. And that was over. If you were a Gentile, did you have to be circumcised in order to become a Christian? In other words, if you were a Gentile, did you need to become a Jew to become a Christian? And a bunch of them said, absolutely, you got to be circumcised. Meanwhile, Paul and Barnabas are up in the missionary world, and they're sending back all of these glowing reports of how they're just bringing in Gentile after Gentile after Gentile. And so the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Jerusalem do what they do best, and so they send people up to see what in the world is going on. And their report came back to Jerusalem. Well, no wonder they're bringing in all of these converts, because they're not giving up anything, and they're not even being circumcised. So the question, remember, early church unity, right? Well, they're split. Bunch of them say, got to be circumcised. Others, such as Peter, Paul, Barnabas, says, circumcision hadn't got anything to do with salvation. And so what could have split the church wide open, they ended up compromising. They left circumcision out, period. They said kind of like, whatever happens, happens. And then they made up some other rules and things were fine. Now meanwhile, today's lesson, Paul and Barnabas decide that they're going to go back and visit some of the churches that they had been to. Now remember, one of the things, look, who's my designated reader this morning? Ron! Oh, thank you for volunteering. Look up Acts 15, about 39, I think. So one of the problems is, when Paul and Barnabas get together to start out this missionary journey, Barnabas wants to bring John Mark with him. Now John Mark is Barnabas' nephew. And he had previously gone with Paul and Barnabas, but he left them. Paul was not happy. Now remember, this is unity. right, read about 15, I think, 36, 39, somewhere in there.
Okay, we'll start with 36. Some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. King James Version. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them earlier in Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one from the other.
Okay, let's start out. Now go over to Galatians 2, verse 11. Now, does this sound like these guys were in a compromising mood? No, not when you use the word contention. Yeah, yeah. See, we have a picture that everything in the early church was just perfect, and everything in our day should be just like the early church. They were human beings. They thought like we do. They felt like we do. They reacted. And so here you have the greatest evangelistic team ever, Paul and Barnabas, and they can't get along enough to go back and do a second missionary journey. So Barnabas ends up taking John Mark with him. This is the same Mark that wrote the book of Mark. And then Paul looks for a new guy, and he takes Silas. Now, there's one other time that Paul kind of got into it. Let's read Galatians 2. Remember, unity. Galatians 2, 11, I believe.
But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles.
Okay, that's far enough. Does this sound like a friendly little discussion? I mean, this is Paul and Peter. And Paul says, I stood up to him face to face because he was to blame. He was wrong. Well, how do you react to that? First of all, wouldn't it have been nice if the Bible would have kind of left that out? So how do you react to that? Because I grew up thinking, man, we're praying just, Lord, bless us like that first church. And then I go into a church board meeting and they're arguing, should the carpet be green or should the carpet be purple? How do you react to that?
Well, you see, both those people, I mean, if you look at their background, Peter, very strong personality. Paul, very strong personality. So, if they agreed, you know, if they got along on something, you know, they got along fabulously. But if they disagreed?
Well, I thought both of them were led by the Holy Spirit.
At the same time?
Well, I don't know. I just thought they were both led by the Holy Spirit.
And so doesn't that automatically make them targets for the deceiver?
Could be. Don't know the answer to that. Who's got some input?
So in business today, you sit around a meeting, everyone wants to make sure that all is in one accord. Everyone has to agree on the party line. Yet can it be, here we have two spiritual leaders that cannot we respect each other but have different viewpoints and still work out a solution? I think that's something that's lacking in our church board meetings and within our communities and churches and government today.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of it. How can it be that the two leaders diabolical? You know, Paul, he was quite a person. Here they, the greatest evangelistic team in the world can't get along. And Paul and Peter, Paul proudly says, I stood up face to face because he was absolutely wrong. Where is Christ in this? I thought you were supposed to be loving, kind, considerate, forgiving, a pushover. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that Union College? are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Your husband with you? Husband with you?
Yes, he is. He's so sweet. He always drops me off and then finds a spot.
I hate guys like that. I dislike guys like that. Yeah. You don't understand, that puts pressure on people. How was these two guys, where was God in any of this?
I think God was leading Paul.
Pardon?
I think God was leading Paul and going up to Peter and saying, you're okay. Wrong. Even a leader needs direction. Wasn't it Jesus that said to that same Peter, feed my sheep?
Yeah.
And the sheep don't just include the ones that are white or brown or spotted. They include everybody.
Absolutely. So God picked sides on this one.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Just clarifying. I don't think that this was very pleasing. I think there was other ways it could have been handled. But this is the goodness of God. Though you're human, and though you make mistakes, and sometimes ego gets into things, if you're continually trying to follow God, God will work to good to bring that out of this situation.
Amen.
And that's exactly what he did. The world's greatest evangelistic team split up. But now we have two good evangelistic teams out there. You have Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark eventually wrote the book of Mark. Some say it was Peter's gospel because he got a lot of his material from Peter. And of course, Paul and Silas continue to do the missionary. So now instead of having one team, because of the differences, God worked the good out of it as he always does. If we're willing to listen. The biggest problem we have when we have differences is not the differences. If you're on a board meeting and you got people that all think the same, why have a meeting? You want opposite input. But it's what is your spirit? What is the way that you react to that? And later on, Paul becomes very complimentary of John Mark. So somewhere along the line, the division healed with Paul. Now, the next thing I want to go into the lesson, which I think is very, very interesting, is Timothy. Paul meets a young man named Timothy, and he's very impressed with him. Now, Timothy's mother is a Jew, and Timothy's father is a Greek. So, what does this make Timothy?
A mutt.
What?
A mutt.
A mutt. No. Morning.
Morning.
How are you doing? How's the leg?
Fine, thank you.
How's the foot?
Nice of you to inquire.
Pretty good. Foot good. No, I won't say it. Mutt. What was he? Jew? How come he was a Jew?
His mother was a Jew.
Mother was a Jew. The lineage of the Jewish came through the woman, not the man. So the very fact that his mother was a Jew made Timothy a Jew. Now Paul is excited to have Timothy join the evangelistic team. He was impressed with him. But Paul felt there was one problem. Now, what was Paul's stand on circumcision?
He didn't have to be circumcised.
Did not have to be circumcised. What did he say? We're not saved by circumcision. Circumcision has nothing to do with salvation. Don't have to be circumcised. Very plain. Very outspoken. So he goes to Timothy and he says, I want you to join our evangelistic series. And I want you to be circumcised. Now, how can Paul say that? He just went to Jerusalem and argued greatly, you don't have to be circumcised. That's stupid. And then he turns right around and says to Timothy, if you're going to join our team, don't care how old you are, you got to go get circumcised. Why?
You want to keep down dissension.
Pardon?
You want to keep down the dissension.
In what way?
By allowing him to be circumcised, that it would keep them from arguing back and forth.
Okay. I thought you were supposed to stand up for your beliefs. How can you go to the head of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Jerusalem and say, I think circumcision is yucky and you don't have to do it, has nothing to do with salvation? Then he turns right around and says, well, if you're going to be part of us, you got to get circumcised.
Well, wait. Paul evidently really liked Timothy, thought greatly of his intellect and wanted him to go on mission journeys. And if you're uncircumcised, you cannot enter the synagogue.
Okay.
Got nothing to do with your beliefs.
Okay.
Paul went first and preached in the synagogue.
Okay.
And then to the Gentiles.
Okay.
And I think he wanted to train Timothy because he saw a lot of potential in this young man.
Okay. What does this side think?
I think he rationalized it because Timothy was Jewish.
Okay. I thought you were supposed to stand up for what you believe.
You are.
Okay. Is there any practicability in religion?
Sure.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Are you positive? Paul knew that Timothy could not go into the synagogue unless he was circumcised, because you were immediately dispelled from the synagogue. So how effective would his ministry have been? But yet Paul argued vehemently circumcision had nothing to do. Now I'm going to tell you a story that's absolutely true. I generally hesitate to tell this story.
Because it's true.
Well, it is true.
Don't you equate this whole thing though to the same requirement that if I want to reach the Chinese, that I need one of my lead evangelists to speak Chinese?
Absolutely. Just makes good sense.
Salesmanship, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been a sales trainer for 30 years. First thing you do is try to find something common with the people. Now, how many of y'all know who HMS Richards is? Now, this is a true story because I heard it from the person that heard it. But it was a good source.
Huh?
No. H.M. Richards is over in Africa. And he goes to meet out in the middle of nowhere some African chief. And the chief recognizes H.M.S. Richards as a very important person. So he has a big feast for him. And guess what the main food is? Pork. What does HMS Richards do? No! He gave one of the greatest Bible studies on not eating pork that you could give. He gave some of the greatest texts and proof texts, and the chief wanted to put him in the pot and cook him. He ate it. Now, some of you in here would say, how could he do that? Which is more important? Person's dignity or what meat you eat. Yes?
Sorry, I was trying to pull up this text on 1 Corinthians 9. Paul's talking about the use of his freedom. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible.
Yes. Good. Great text, yeah.
You know, and I think that kind of gets along the whole thing. I mean, if it's wrong for you, it's wrong for you, but that doesn't mean it's wrong for everybody. It's a hard issue. And I think Paul, probably with Timothy, the circumcision, that allowed them to be more effective with certain groups of people. building in. It's basically your whatever keeps you from holding back the gospel. I mean, if you're doing anything to hold back the gospel, that should be.
Yes.
They were slaves to the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah.
They gave all their freedoms away to become basically whatever that group needed to be reached. And that required circumcision for some, and that was something they were willing to do.
Absolutely. What was Jesus accused the most of doing by the religious leaders of the church?
Eating with sinners.
Yeah. Mingling with sinners. How can you do that? How can you be righteous and you're sitting down here on the level of these idiots? You see. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. I'm not advocating eating pork. I'm advocating be sensible. And sometimes in our witness, we are our own worst enemies witnessing for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What do Seventh-day Adventists believe? We generally go right to the points of separation. If a witness was in my salesman's class, I'd kick him out. But we immediately go to the points of difference. Well, we go to church on Saturday. We believe that when you die, you don't go to heaven. What witnessing is that? See, I think each of us are compelled to come up with a set of words that when we're asked, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? Or what do Seventh-day Adventists believe? That we have a set of words that signify how much the Seventh-day Adventist Church loves God. And that's the picture we want to get out. So Paul is saying, I want to be effective. Now, if we have time to get to it today, which I don't think we are, we're going to see one of the most powerful sermons that Paul preached. And as he looked back on it, he said, what an idiot I was. Man, if I had that sermon to do all over again, I would do it differently. You see, so you've got to be. Now, let's go to the heart, I think, of the lesson today. Paul and Silas are doing good. They're going to different churches. I don't know what town it is. I think it's Philippi because I didn't care what town it was. He's in there, and here comes this woman who is El Nuts and has a demon in her. And she starts screaming at Paul and Silas, oh, holy men of God that bring salvation. Now, that kind of seems like a nice thing to say. But for some reason, Paul didn't like it because I imagine she was mocking him more than anything. And so he cast out the evil spirit from the woman. Now, you would think this would be a good thing. Except the leaders of Philippi sold this woman, she was a slave, and used this woman as kind of a fortune teller, and they made money off of her. And so when you take away your method of income, what happens? You get mad. And so the next thing we know, we have Paul and Silas brought up before the magistrates, and they're sentenced to jail, they're beaten, put in jail, and there they sit, and they pray, and they sang hymns. All right, now, designated reader, go to 16, I think it's 39 I'm looking for, or Acts. So they're in jail, they're singing, they're praying. A big earthquake comes.